The following is a production of JSC Media. Stay ready.
You're listening to the People's Podcast.
I was honest. Was I brutally honest? Yes. But I think that that's the problem. Everybody's so scared to be honest with one another.
This is JSC Radio.
Just really media in general doesn't allow for people to understand duality, right? Like it only shows a small little fraction of who you are as a person. And that's whatever you choose for that version to be. And for me, I choose that I'm going to show you guys that I'm funny, or I'm going to try to make you laugh. But there's this whole other piece of the pie to who I am. And I think when people realize, like, oh, I've done serious stuff. I carried a 2.5 hour live broadcast by myself and the fire chief of Atlantic Beach right after Hurricane Florence. I'm not just funny. I'm not just this. I'm not just that. And I think that in society, they really want to put us in a box. You are this. You are funny. You are serious. But it's like, no, I can be all those things.
You're listening to the People's Podcast. This is JSC Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Hey. How's it going? My name is Jay Scott Smith, and this is the 122nd episode of the People's Podcast. This is Jay Scott Confidential, but you can also call it JSC Radio. And I want to thank each and every one of you for supporting the podcast across all the different podcast providers. And that includes, of course, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, which at one time was known as iTunes, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. You can hear us on Spreaker, Pandora, TuneIn, SoundCloud, and everywhere else you get your damn podcasts. I also want to remember and remind you, of course, you can follow me on social media. You can find me on Instagram at Real J. Scott Smith. Same thing goes on. Almost forgot the name of it. It's called Threads because it's through Instagram, even though it's through Meta. Not really too keen on Meta right now. But in case you want to find me there, once again, it's Real J. Scott Smith on Instagram and Threads. I'm also Where the Skies Are Blue under the same name on Twitter, because that's the name of it. For however much longer I choose to stay on there, the name, of course, is J. Scott Smith. That's JAYSCO, 2 T's, SMITH. And that wonderful voice you heard there in the open is the voice of this week's guest, Miss Julie Baker. I'll get to Julie in 1 second. Julie, just like me, is someone who's worked in this wonderful media field for a long time. And before we get going, just want to check everybody's temperature, because we're going through it. We're just getting started in what is going to be a bit of a mess over the next few years. And one thing I want to especially shout out are to the rest of my fellow working journalist friends. I'm not one of those at this current moment, but my working journalist friends who have had to really shoulder some heavy loads covering some heavy stories, but especially the fam back in Philadelphia who last Friday night had to cover that horrific plane crash in Northeast Philly. That's part of the Northeast I've got to know very well when I was working and living out there, and just wowzers. So we're in a lot of deep doo-doo in this country, and we're going to be, unfortunately, for a while because of the direction that we're headed in. We got to protect our peace where we are. And especially if you're a working member of the media, whether you're TV, whether you're radio, whether you're print, whatever it is, do everything you can to look out for yourself. Because as we've quickly found out, not only is society not going to look out for you, but where you work probably won't look out for you too. Ask me how I found that out. That's enough out of me for right now. It's time to get to our guest. This week's guest is my good friend, Miss Julie Baker. Julie, she works in Colorado Springs, Colorado, with the Fox affiliate out there in Colorado Springs, Colorado. She also has her own radio show that runs in the afternoon in a different market. Julie is one of the most talented, one of the funniest, and one of the just sweetest people that I know. You may also know Julie from all her wonderful, stupid news videos that she does on TikTok and Instagram.
Here's the deal. If you're going to steal a bunch of Hot Pockets, don't be found in your work break room eating said Hot Pockets.
Yes, indeed. We're welcoming in that wonderful lady, Julie Baker, as she gets to join us this week as the latest guest here on the 122nd episode of the People's Podcast. This is J. Scott Confidential, but you can call it JSC Radio. Let's get down to business with our conversation with Julie Baker.
You're listening to the People's Podcast. This is JSC Radio.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to actually do this. I've seen so much of this on your Instagram and on your TikTok. Now I get to be the one to get to talk to you.
I know. I'm pumped because you and I have talked several times over social media and on the phone, but never face to face.
Yeah, this is true. This is actually the first time I'm actually getting to really do this kind of face to face thing. I apologize for the face I'm carrying around. It's okay.
I have this one. because it's under TV makeup right now.
First and foremost, how is everything out there in the lovely state of Colorado?
Well, I would like to break down our weather situation to you right now, because quite frankly, I found myself frustrated. Here in Colorado Springs, we have something called the Manitou Incline. It's essentially 2,800 steps up the side of a mountain. You can actually take that to start the ascent to Pikes Peak. Now, it was really lovely out here yesterday, and I love doing the Manitou Incline, which is an insane person's workout. So I go to Manitou. I park and I look at the incline. It's just packed in snow, despite us having wonderful temperatures. So how is Colorado right now weather-wise, which was not the total question you're asking? It's very muddy. It's very muddy right now, and there's still snows. But if you're just looking at the mountains, it's beautiful.
From what I've seen of Colorado Springs, it's gorgeous. I know anytime I think of Colorado, I pretty much put everything in terms of Denver and where everybody is in Denver. And I just assume everybody's 1 mile up in the mountains and you're dealing with days where it can be snowy at one point and 90 degrees at the exact same time. And it's a bit of a shit show out there.
You know, it's what's wild about it is like Colorado Springs is arguably more beautiful because we're so much closer to the mountains. And before I moved to Colorado, one of my childhood friends, I've known her literally since I was born. She lives up in Denver. And she said, yeah, we get blizzards, but it does that in the morning and then it melts off. And I thought, you're crazy. Because I'd only known snow in terms of like Missouri, where it snows, it ices, and it just lingers. Here, the sun comes out by noon, it melts it away. You still have to be a little careful for spots here and there. So I feel like we're 98-year-old people talking about the weather.
I'm the one with the 10-year age gap out here. I'm the one who's seemingly older.
But don't be fooled by my birth year. I'm actually a 7,800-year-old swamp witch.
including the crows before bros shirt that she's got on here too.
Yeah, my shirt says crows before bros support your local murder. A murder, of course, being a group of crows.
Oh yes.
I don't know. I saw this shirt on the internet and I said, I need that. And I got this other shirt along with it that said, girls will be girls. And it's a bunch of witches dancing around a fire. I just thought it was funny. It is.
You mentioned Missouri. You grew up in Missouri. Now, the first video I saw you, kind of give you a little bit of an idea. You know how you scroll through Instagram and TikTok and you see all these different random videos and people can either be funny or they'll say something thought provoking or something crazy or something stupid. And one of these days I'm scrolling through there and I see Julie's beautiful face being extremely funny. And I just got hooked and I go all the way through her profile. I'm like, oh my God, she's hilarious. I'm not sure if she's a comedian, if she's a news reporter, if she just hosts a radio show. And finally,
traumatized. And that's where the humor comes from.
Oh, we'll get there. we'll get to all the trauma as I go trauma farming later. But I find you on Instagram and you are incredibly funny. And just it's like that's the thing that jumped out to me. It's like she's got this seamless sense of humor. I hear the voice and it's like, oh, she's probably from the South. Cause I just hear because when you have a Southern family like I do, it leaps off the page. So
you know what's so crazy is I've worked so hard to have a neutral voice. But it comes out, and I have stopped fighting it at this point. It is what it is.
Lean into it. I mentioned my cousin a lot on here, partially because I love her to death, and she's like my sister. But she grew up in Alabama, And she used to worry about that. Like, oh no, how am I going to handle the thing? Because people are going to try to make fun of me because of my voice. They ain't going to make fun of you because of your voice. It's just like, if there are other reasons
they're going to make fun of you.
For Christ's sake, there's so many other reasons people are going to clown you. Don't worry about the voice. Plus, she ends up working in a place like Texas where it fits right on in. It's just like, what's the big deal? So where in Missouri are you from?
So I want you to think about rural America and then times it by 50. I'm from a place called Plato. Well, outside of Plato, Missouri, there's a place called Winnipeg, and there's only two Winnipegs on the planet, Winnipeg, Canada, and Winnipeg, Missouri. Winnipeg, Missouri, named for Winnipeg, Canada. I just want to put into perspective, like, we had the largest school district in the state by square miles, so by sheer size. I only graduated with 52 people, and that was the largest class up until that point that they had seen. So very rural. Like, a tornado hit my parents' house back in 2017, only impacted their house because there's nobody else around.
Oh, wow. It's
fine. They got a new house out of it. It's fine.
They got a new house. It's all good. So for people like me who, when I think of Missouri, because I've been to St. Louis, been to Kansas City, I've been in the Ozarks. That's not in the Ozarks, from what I'm guessing.
It's technically, I think it's part of the Ozarks. Fun little history fact for you. Back in 2010, Plato was deemed the center population of the census. So if everybody weighed the same on both sides of the country, it would even out in Plato. But there's nobody there because it's so rural. It is technically the Ozarks, but it's like 3 hours south of St. Louis, if that helps.
What was it like growing up there? What was Plato, Missouri like?
This is actually a question that I have wrestled with so much, because I so deeply, deeply love my family, but I often find myself in conflict with some of the cultures in this area. And so, yes, you have neighbors who will do anything for you. I mentioned my parents had the tornado. And when that happened, I was living in North Carolina, and immediately, you know, you hop in the vehicle and you go to driving. It's like, I don't know, 14, 16 hour drive from North Carolina to rural Missouri. And I was just met with every neighbor I knew helping my parents move out of their house, because it was, the walls were bowing, black mold was forming, everything was drenched, you know, how tornado be. And in that sense, like, it very much is a community, and it can be overwhelming in the best way how people will come together. I always really struggled with some of the thoughts that happen there that I'm like, I don't know if that's true. And consequently, because I'm not silent in those thoughts, I think it has put me kind of in the category of black sheep. So I don't know if that answers the question, because I still kind of really struggle with this, like, love for it, but then this criticism of it.
There's always often an idea that people who live in that part of the country tend to not be the most informed. We're just going to bring up that word, racism, that tends to float around out there. Yeah. Other ideologies that don't exactly
other isms
that don't go too well.
I guess I think if I look around a community and it looks exactly like me, why have we not fostered an environment where other people feel safe and comfortable here? I guess is my thought process. If that makes sense, you know.
No, that makes total sense. I run into that a lot. I grew up in Detroit, which is almost like seemingly the polar opposite of a place where you grew up, where population, especially during the '80s into the '90s, Detroit was more than 90% black. It was, and the other, I always say this, we were about 93% black and the other 7% weren't white people. But I knew there was a world outside of Detroit, and it sounds like the same thing you're saying here. There's a world outside of Plato, Missouri.
Yeah, that's where I was, where I was like, I want to leave and I want to learn. And I know along the way, I'm not going to be perfect in learning, and I'm going to ask questions that make me look very stupid. But I think I find myself in a forever pursuit of learning and trying to understand people better. And I think when you travel, when you just listen, when you zip the lips, you really are given the ability to learn. And I think what I've learned is, like, we're all not that different.
So the question now comes is that, well, where are some of the places you've been? You've seen a lot more of the world than a lot of us have. Hell, a lot more than I've seen as of yet.
Listen, I have two coping mechanisms with the trauma. One being humorous. Two, I'm booking a flight. I'm going somewhere. So I got divorced. It's been 3 years this year, which I know. Thank you, guys. This is the best money I ever spent. And so that fall after I got a divorce, I think it was, I called my mom. I'd never left the country before. Never. I've always been in the States. And I called my mom. I said, I'm going to get my passport. I'm going to go to Rome. And she was like, oh, that is dangerous. And I was like, I don't think it's that dangerous. She said, it is. And very much, I think my parents thought that when you travel internationally, you're going to get taken like Liam Neeson. And I was like, I don't think that's going to happen. So a year after making that video for my 33rd birthday, I found myself in Rome. I just first trip that I had ever taken internationally, I went by myself into Venice, then to Florence, and then to Rome. I'd always wanted to see the Colosseum. And it was just so beautiful because I learned so much, not only about, you know, the Italian culture, but about myself. Like, I learned to make pasta. I learned to make tiramisu. I got to learn the history of each of those cities and where they evolved from. And I love Italy. I'll talk about Italy and Cacio e Pepe like for the next 30 minutes, but we don't want that. I spent a lot of time in New York City. My best friends live there. Los Angeles. I spent a month or so traveling around Florida, which is a whole other story. Whoops. I lived in North Carolina for a little while and Missouri, of course, and now I'm out in Colorado. Last year I went to London and Paris with one of my dearest friends. So I'm always trying to see something and learn something. I did learn when I was in Italy, because I sat next to these two British ladies in Venice, and they were curious to me because I'm American. I was curious to them because they were British. And I said, what's vacation like? What's work life? And they said, oh, we don't take a job unless we get 5 weeks vacation and all these benefits. And I was like, well, I'm an American. We don't get vacation. Like, so you're always learning something. And I love to learn.
I've noticed that. And you have like this curiosity, which the older we get, a lot of people tend to lose that curiosity. It's one of the things that kind of leaps off the page at me about you. You mentioned that you got divorced. When I first saw you, I remember you had a different last name.
Yeah.
She's Baker. She's Julie. She's always been Julie Baker, damn it.
You know what's so crazy is, and I would encourage any woman, especially any woman that is going into like a public facing job, which is what, you know, what we have. Do not give up your name for a man. And I know you want to think it's all roses and daisies and fairy tales and love stories, but there is a very real statistic you could get divorced. For me, I got married at 22, which should be a federal crime, but isn't. And so I established a long resume under this other name. And then when it finally sank in what had happened and I started to really understand what had happened to me, it was almost like I was manic and I just went to shredding it from my public persona. Like, I went to my radio station. I said, I'm changing my name. We're changing the name of my show. And they said, oh, okay. And I went to my TV station. I said, I'm changing my name. I'm changing my name on air to what my legal name is. Because for a good like 2 years, year and a half, I stayed with that other name because media professionals had said, hey, if you change your name to what it actually is, meaning if you don't keep your married name, you're going to lose your resume. And that terrified me because my job is always what has kept me safe. I've always loved what I've done. And so I don't care now. If a media professional, it felt like I was lying to people. It felt like a kick in the gut. And like keeping that old name, which is where you discovered me from, it very much felt like I was still existing in what happened to me. It made somehow what had happened still very active in my life. And so ladies, don't change your last name, at least publicly. no person, keep your name. It's your name.
I say, I've never been married before, but
yes,
in the time period, the couple of different points where I've been in longer relationships and the marriage came up, I remember having a conversation like that. This was 2017. This is ages ago, ladies and gentlemen, but it's 2017. And she mentioned the name change thing because she had a pretty important job. She's like, don't you dare change that last name. What are you doing?
No, that's
what
people
know. That's what people know you as. If you want to change it legally and all that, but professionally, don't go putting, this name didn't earn that shit there. Just you do what you do legally, but your public persona, don't touch that name. That's not how you made money off of it. What are you doing?
I'm in a few like lady news lady groups, and one lady had posted, she's like, I recently got married. I don't know if I should change my husband's name on air. And all the women were like, yes, girl, I'm married and it's blissful. And I had to be the one to be like, let me beg you, don't do it. Let me tell you my story. And I got a lot of positive reaction about that. But like, I think it's so easy to live in a fairy tale world that, oh, it's never going to happen to me. But let me tell you a story. It can. And it might. Keep your name.
Keep your name. It keeps a part of you. It keeps your autonomy. And because around here, we are all about a woman's autonomy on numerous things, not just names. And I remember when I first saw you, it was that name and you'd mentioned the divorce. And I was, because even I thought to myself, wait, is this the maiden name that she's going with? No, that is definitely not. You made a big deal out of it. And I remember that. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Like, shed that. Even if you have to restart everything, shed that. And it's you're a different person now than you were at 22.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I fully believe it should be illegal to get married until you're at least 30. And even then, you should have to pass a test. Like, I just didn't know because, like, well, I mentioned I grew up in really rural America. I felt old getting married at 22. Everybody I knew, 18, 19, had kids by 22. So I thought, oh, look at me. I'm a progressive woman getting married at 22. Wrong. Still too young.
You waited till you were old enough to vote, at least, before you stepped out and did
guys,
that.
Guys, I know you guys got married in college, but, like, I already graduated college. Like, you're 22. You don't know what you're doing.
So what was it that got you interested in going into media? Because you work in both radio and TV currently. What was the first time you discovered that you kind of had that itch to get in front of a microphone or in front of a camera?
Ever since I was like a baby, my dad would take me to the stage at church, and we would sing together. Me and my dad would sing together. And so I have always gravitated towards a stage. It's where I feel very safe, which I recognize that a lot of people would get up in front of a crowd and be terrified. But I feel the opposite. Like, if you could put me in a crowd in front of 10,000 people and I feel like, all right, it's on. I love it. You put me in a one-on-one situation and it's not for work and it's not an interview situation. It's just getting to know somebody. And that's where I'm like, oh, hi. Like, I feel very weird. So it just feels very natural for me to have a microphone or to be yapping to a crowd.
How old were you the first time you got like on the mic? In terms of, obviously you mentioned being on stage and singing, yeah, like with getting in where it kind of hit you like, hey, I can do this on radio or I can do this on TV.
Whew, that is a great question. I look back to my college years because I actually went into broadcast journalism like late in my college career. But I remember taking like broadcast performance classes as a senior, which is a freshman level class. And I'd just get up there and I'd be like, the professor's like 4 years older than me. Like, this is not serious. And I would just try to make people in the class laugh. Like, we had to do a stand up about a Snickers bar. And so there I am in my fancy news lady clothes in college. So take it for what it is. And I just unwrap the whole thing and I get to yap and whatever the stand up was. And I shove the whole thing in my mouth because I'm up there for a laugh. So I think, I don't know the moment that I was like, oh, I can make money at this. I just always thought this is who I am.
And the thing about you and just who you are, you're naturally funny. Like, that seems to be a thing. Like, you have this quick wit, and being able to get up there and almost improv something about a Snickers bar kind of says a lot about you too. Where does the funny come from? Because everybody has funny in them for different reasons. It's like, for me, my funny is a defense mechanism to kind of keep me, to kind of work through my awkward anxiety as I get to be a little.
No, funny keeps you safe. If I can, I like to think, if I can make you laugh, then you can't see what's happening behind the scenes in a sense. And I, don't get me wrong, I love being funny, but I've always had a like really quick wit to the extent of frustration of people around me, you know? So I think it kind of has developed a bit from that. I don't know. I don't know where it came from. I think it's just always been innate, where I think my quick wit coupled with my curiosity has come out as comedic in a way.
Now, you're also doing this as a journalist. I told you the first time I saw you, I thought you were a stand-up comic, because that's just the first thing popped in my head. It's like, she's a stand-up comic. She's great. It's like, wait, that's a news. That's a that bug at the bottom of the screen. She's a news reporter. So she's one of the kind of the light, funny, ha ha kind of reporters, because everybody has one. I say that as somebody who's kind of Mr. Funny Haha himself sometimes. I've seen that, and it's just like, okay, she's clearly like adept at this. I didn't realize that apparently you did stand up for the first time last year.
Yeah, and I won't say that I ate shit, but I definitely walked into a shark. Like, it wasn't good. Well, I want to rewind a little bit about that, because I actually am an Emmy-nominated journalist for my investigative piece and work that I did on domestic violence in rural America. So I think TV and just really media in general doesn't allow for people to understand duality, right? Like, it only shows a small little fraction of who you are as a person. And that's whatever you choose for that version to be. And for me, I choose that I'm going to show you guys that I'm funny, or I'm going to try to make you laugh. But there's this whole other piece of the pie to who I am. And I think when people realize, like, oh, I've done serious stuff. I carried a 2.5-hour live broadcast by myself and the fire chief of Atlantic Beach right after Hurricane Florence, showing people who still didn't have access to the island what their home looked like after it had just had the crap beat out of it by a massive hurricane. Like, I've done all the serious stuff too, but I'm not just funny. I'm not just this. I'm not just that. And I think that in society, they really want to put us in a box. You are this. You are funny. You are serious. But it's like, no, I can be all those things and still exist in the same body and still be good at all of those things.
And that's a point I definitely wanted to get to as well, because so many times people will see Julie Baker with the funny and of course there's plenty great about that, but they'll see all the funny. It's like, yeah, you actually do this shit for real. I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't quite get, is like, I do this. It's not just me just getting in front of the camera for the jokes. I don't step to the side when news stories break.
Yeah, I love breaking news. I love rushing out to a scene and just having to figure out, okay, what's going on? How can I relay this to the audience? And how can I keep the community informed? Because I very much look at news as a public service job in a way. Like, my job is to tell you what's happening in the community. And if I can do that by being funny and the story calls for it, I'd love to do that. Not every story needs a joke, but some of them do. I remember sitting... I was working in Raleigh, North Carolina. I was anchoring the noon newscast, and I was reading a story, and I had to be very serious. This is a serious news station, and we don't crack a lot of jokes here except when it's time to pitch to weather. And I was reading a story. I was like, this is the dumbest crap I've ever heard. I wish I could crack a joke right here. And then I thought, is this all there is to life? It was very existentialism. So it was wild.
We've all had a moment when doing, like, news. For those of you who don't really know what that news anchor life is like, it's a lot of what Julie just described. While we get to do the occasional cool story, a lot of it gets to be very mundane. And sometimes in the back of your mind, you're like, oh boy, what is this? It's like, this feels like a rinse and repeat moment that a lot of us have had. Yeah. And hearing that, because again, you're so good at being able to make a lot of chicken salad out of chicken shit, it seems, when it comes to some of these stories. I look at what you've done. What might be the hardest story you've had to deal with on the air? Because we all got one where it's just like, ugh, this made me question my existence.
Yeah. You know how I told you how I spent 2.5 hours with the fire chief of Atlantic Beach? 6 months later, I get a phone call and I start to hear rumors. And I still kind of struggle with the story, but that fire chief, Chief Adam Snyder, had been involved in an incident and died.
Oh, no.
So I just paused in that moment, because there's this guy who was a staple of his community, like a pillar of his community, loved his community, loved his family, and he's just gone. And I had spent a great deal of time with him and witnessed firsthand what he was to the community. And it was in that moment I was like, wow, there's sometimes no justice in this life, because he didn't deserve that.
No, it's brutal. I was on the air, especially when I was in Philadelphia, I was on the air live for this massive riot in Philadelphia, live 3 straight hours, 6 hours over, 6-8 hours over just a couple of days doing that live, and had moments of just like really tough, difficult stories.
Yeah.
The one that almost got me on the air was an afternoon where we had a breaking story about a shooting, like a drive-by shooting at a house that killed a 2-month-old baby, where on the air, I hear that, and it's like I'm somewhere between both extremely saddened and the rage, and I have to kind of swallow it on the air because I got tears in my eyes hearing about just what happens with this little baby. But you have to, you got to
navigate it.
You got to reel that shit in, and it's hard sometimes.
It's very hard because, like, you're still human at the end of the day. You and I still breathe the same air type thing, and like, it's my job to tell you what's happening, but it doesn't mean that I exist without emotion towards it. And I did go on to cover that fire chief's funeral, and I was at Atlantic Beach a lot, and, you know, the following year just with follow-up stories, and God, you don't get over seeing a line of American flags and police sirens and people pulled over knowing that the hearse is coming type thing. Like, you don't unsee it. You don't this has been like 7 years ago and I still have goosebumps from it. Like, I can still, it feels still very much real type thing. So you're going to have stories like that, that stay with you deep within you for the rest of your life. You don't just get over, you don't just report it and then on to the next one. You report it on to the next one. It's still with you.
So that's a common misconception about what we do as journalists, anchors, reporters, writers, that, oh, you love this. You just traffic in it. Well, when it bleeds, it leads. You just show up and then it's on to the next thing. I can guarantee you, I got friends down in Philadelphia right now who just saw some shit a few days ago when that plane hits in Northeast Philly. They're not leaving that behind.
No, you don't get over something like that. It's just something you learn to live with. I think a lot of times in life, you know, even for people who aren't on the air, right, who just are teachers or, you know, a job that's not forward-facing or public-facing, like, you just learn to live with it. It's always there.
Now, coming up after this break, Julie and I are going to talk about what it's like to go viral, especially in this particular day and age, including dealing with some of the crass, ridiculous, and just wild things that end up in her DMs. Plus, she goes more into detail about her foray into actual stand-up comedy. You know, not just the funny news stuff that she does. My name is J. Scott Smith, and this is the 122nd episode of The People's Podcast. This is J. Scott Confidential, better known as JSC Radio. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to The People's Podcast.
I'm not going to be responsible for what happens next.
This is JSC Radio.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The People's Podcast. This is JSC Radio.
Stupid news. Some of the best stupid news stories come from criminals trying to shove things up their to smuggle into prison. To Georgia we go. A 43-year-old man is in trouble. Why? He was trying to put a bunch of stuff up his beehole in order to smuggle it into the prison. What kind of things was he shoving up there? Well, let me just give you a rundown. Vape canisters, syringes, vape cartridges, batteries, and a cigarette lighter. Ooh, spicy. The man, who is 43, by the way, also had a little bit of marijuana up there. Just shoving it where the sun don't shine. Can you imagine being in prison and some guy just coughs out a cigarette lighter and then coughs out a little bit of marijuana? I'm sorry, I could be behind bars, but I would never be so desperate. Or so I would think. I've never been in that situation. Would you smoke butt marijuana? The guy who is trying to smuggle in all of these delightful items up his is looking at multiple charges already for theft, possession of meth, and violating parole. Butt marijuana.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about many sophisticated things here on this podcast, and that includes butt marijuana. That voice you heard was our guest this week, Julie Baker, doing one of her really funny, stupid news segments. You can find those every single day on her Instagram and TikTok feeds. The name is And Julie Baker. My name is J. Scott Smith, and this is the 122nd episode of the People's Podcast. You're listening to JSC Radio, better known as J. Scott Confidential. Again, want to thank you, no matter where you're listening, whether it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on Pandora, on Amazon Music, on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, or anywhere else you get your podcast. Plus, don't forget to also subscribe to us on YouTube. That's JSC Radio. You can check out the exclusive video clips. We're going to have some video clips of our conversation, Julie and I, coming up a little bit later on in the week. And have to shout out the homie, Doc Illingsworth. Damn right. He's the one who put together many of the beats you hear on this podcast. Plus, shout out to my man, Awesome Jones, whose track, Blue Chucks, is the song you hear that starts off every single episode of this podcast. Now, let's get back to our conversation with our guest this week, Julie Baker. And we pick things up as she talks about what it's like to go viral routinely on TikTok and Instagram. This is episode 122 of the People's Podcast. You're listening to J. Scott Confidential.
You're listening to the People's Podcast. This is JSC Radio.
One other thing that's always there is you're a woman who works in media, worked in television and radio, but these days we're all on camera anyway, even when we're on radio. You're clearly an attractive woman. You've become very popular on social media. For one, what is it like going viral? Because I haven't fully experienced that yet, where my shit takes off. Because secondarily, then the bigger question, what the hell do those DMs look like? Because I can only imagine some of the lovely things that some of our very well-adjusted men have been known to send women like you.
Well, I wouldn't say they're well-adjusted. I would say they're very tiny. Tiny, tiny, tiny little babies.
Need to do a lot of adjusting is what you're telling me.
I'm just like, what am I looking at here, buddy? What is it like to go viral? It's exciting because it's like, oh, I get to be introduced to an entirely new audience. But then also it's like the first time I ever really went viral, it wasn't like through my social media or doing my shtick. It's because I picked up a Rottweiler during Hurricane Florence. And I didn't know that the camera got like our camera gear had overheated because, you know, when you're in a hurricane, you cover all your gear to rainproof it. And so I'd seen this woman struggling to get her dogs out of the house that was flooding. So I picked up her Rottweiler and the camera guy just happened to be able to repower up. So that went super viral. And that was my first brush with virality. And like a couple people were like, that was fake. And I was like, really? Tell that to my quads, because that dog was heavy. But it happens more and more. And I think because I worked in news before I ever really went viral, I'd already started to kind of callous my skin to the public and their reactions. But I don't know. I think those calluses are fading because sometimes it is like, oh, that was really hurtful. Or, oh, that was really nice. You know, the public's response sometimes is scary. Like, is uplifting as it can be at times, sometimes it's scary. Like, I've had to file police reports because of death threats through the internet, which is insane. Like
death threats.
Yeah. One guy said he wanted to choke me to death. And I was like, first off, buddy. But what I know from like domestic violence and whatnot is if somebody will choke you, the lethality percentage is like through the roof. So I was like, I think I have to call the law on this guy. So it can be scary. And it is wild to me, the audacity that some people have to be publicly commenting things. Like some things I'm like, you said that with your whole chest on the internet for all of the Lord and Taylor Swift to see?
with your picture next to it, by the way.
Yeah, like
a lot of cases.
One guy was like, yeah, I'd like her news a lot better if she was naked. And I was like, and I went to his profile and it said grandfather married 40 years. And I commented back and I said, your profile says you've been married for 40 years and a grandfather. And he said, yeah, I'm still a man. And I was like, not a good one.
Now, here we go. I would say grandpa probably needs to grow up a little bit. First and foremost is like, I'm a man. Not really. Fellas, I kind of demand that we start to act right. I know it seems like these days being that sort of Neanderthal gets rewarded, but can we try to do something different? Just a little bit different here.
It's insane to me. And it's, I gotta be honest with you. The sexualization in the object, like being treated that like I'm not a person is exhausting and it's demoralizing. And at times it makes me want to quit, but I'm not going to, because sometimes I get a paycheck from the internet.
Like I'm never gonna retire. Damn it, you ain't getting me up out of here. I tell you what, this is the funny that I referred to. That got me. It takes a lot to get me. That got me. But you did make a good point there.
Yeah.
Because I hear that a lot from women I know who work in the business at all levels. Whether you're in market one, you're working national, all the way down to market 150. You hear that a lot, that it does drive women out. I just think of the emails. I always tell people, I would see the email, because guess what? We can see the emails that you send to the station.
Yeah, guys, if you're sending an email to your news station about how you don't like your newscaster's arms, just know I think you're a butthole. Like, I think you are a butthole, butthole.
The Elvis seeing the arms, the knees, the ankles. Why is she wearing that dress? My God, it's like her hair. It's always the hair, too.
I wear extensions, so sometimes if people make fun of my hair, I rip it out. Like, it's hair on a string. It's a halo extension. It looks good on air. And one time a lady wrote in, her name was Suzanne, and she said, thank God somebody finally fixed Julie's hair. Now she's watchable. The very next block, I say, this is for Suzanne. My hair's fake, and I rip it out. This is pretty recent, too. And so ever since then, I've called my hair extensions Suzanne. So I named her after, like, a rude viewer, but I don't know what's up with people's butts. They're just rude.
I saw the video you were referring to where you snatched out the extensions and wiggled them in front of the camera, which I think that sort of thing is hilarious. I've always been pro go back at these viewers, because it just let them have it, especially when they put their names to it and say it publicly. Why can't I go back at them?
Why do I have to just take it? Because I have a following. So it's just weird.
It's the strangest thing ever. You've become very popular, obviously, not just for what you do at your station. Stupid news. The two words that are, every time I see a video pop up, I tend to stop what I'm doing to see which one it is.
Thank you. I schedule them every morning for 6 a.m. on Instagram, and then every afternoon at 2:30 on TikTok, if you're wondering what my posting schedule is.
Look at you with an actual schedule. I need to get better at that. See, that's how you know she's a professional out here, is when she's got these things scheduled. So what was it that inspired you to start doing them? And probably the better, and the second question will be, of all the states and all the places you get these stories from, where do you see the most come from?
What inspired it? Well, I was sitting at that news. I mentioned it earlier. I was sitting at the news desk one day anchoring, and I was like, this story is so dumb. And then I took a break from news, went into radio. Well, no, I took a break from news, started a travel vlog. And then I started seeing like stories on TikTok over and over again. And I did this thing called, these are the five things people won't stop talking about on my TikTok. Get it? And so that did reasonably well. And then eventually I go into radio full time. And I did this story about how there was a shortage of mall Santa Clauses. And then the punchline was something like, sorry, ladies, you're going to have to find another old man's lap to sit on. And that did really well. And then I was like, oh, I think I could combine my love of two things, jokes and news, into one thing. And just see if it does, and it does something. And it did, eventually did something. And so, I don't know, it's been slow growth the last couple of years, but I still enjoy it for the most part.
The other question is that there's crazy, weird, stupid news tends to come from a lot of different places, but there seems to be certain places where it happens more often. I often refer to those states as the four horsemen of crazy news, where it's Ohio, Florida, Missouri, and Texas. And it's usually one of those four places tends to have the craziest story come out of it.
Indiana is on that list.
Indiana's another one.
I think, you know, people always think Florida, Florida, Florida. I think Florida has different types of like open records that just exposes us to more. I don't think there's more idiots in Florida. I think idiots are everywhere. Florida's just more chill about putting them on display.
They're a lot more comfortable. Florida man has become like its own, and Florida woman, got to be, even though we're talking about Florida, got to be progressive here. But Florida man and Florida woman have become like their own entities, but they're all over the place. I've seen like Texas, Indiana, Ohio, but Missouri's got some. Wisconsin and Minnesota usually have some funny ones that deal with the weather. Cali never hesitates to come up with something cool.
It's everywhere. I don't know if I've ever done a stupid news from Maine, though. I'm trying to think of a Maine stupid news story. So I've definitely never won. I don't think I've done Vermont. I don't know. There's got to be a couple states I've not covered.
That part of the Northeast. I know you, I think I've heard you have one or two out of Michigan where it's like, yeah, yeah, that's about right.
Sure. No, Michigan don't get off. Like they're doing something.
Oh no, we have plenty of issues in Michigan. It's like there's parts of Michigan that tend to have more than others. Like Detroit has its own. We're our own division when it comes to things that go crazy there. But you get to the middle part of Michigan, as I hold up my hand for the camera here, you get to that middle part of Michigan, like around the middle of the Palm. That's where Lansing is, and go north up into the woods. Good grief. There's no shortage of weird things involving cabins and bears. And
hey, you're starting to sound like you're talking about my people, okay? Just because they have cabins.
ours are covered in snow up in that part of Michigan. It's a little bit different.
true that.
It's interesting, is even thinking about that, like we both kind of come from similar backgrounds, yet completely different ones at the same time. And I don't think we're living in this very interesting time period in our country where that sort of, dare I say, diversity is under a little bit of attack, and people don't like to hear these sort of things, not realizing that there are ways that we can find that ever elusive common ground without, you know, compromising for certain unsavory individuals.
Not that different.
No, we're not. We're really not. That's the wild thing about this, is that when I look at what you do and it's like, she's great, she's hilarious, and clearly a very good journalist at the same time. You've done work as a journalist. You're naturally funny. But what was it like to get on that stage and do stand up for the first time? Because I can be funny on purpose, but only for short amounts of time.
Doing that show is like the producer of, because it was at a comedy festival in Portland. The producer had reached out to me and he's like, I want to make Stupid News a show. I was like, okay, how do I do that? He's like, I'll help you. I was like, all right. I had no clue what I was doing. No clue. I didn't know how to set people up. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know that the other comedians were going to try to be mean to me because I was launching a new show. Like, I did not know what I was doing. And what's so crazy is I've emceed events that I've just turned into a stand-up routine and no issue. But I got up there and I was wearing a dress with built-in shorts, and I thought it would be funny to do the splits and then say something like, I can do that because of this. And I lifted up a dress. Thinking back now is very funny, but I walked off the stage and I was like, oh God. I didn't know how to end it either. And I was just like, well, that's the end of the show. Go, people, leave. I don't know what happened.
And the thing is, there's no shame in that. Like, I'm sure you've probably heard the story about how Amy Schumer convinced Madonna to get on stage and do a stand-up act, and it completely bombed. And here's Madonna, who's been performing in front of massive crowds for more than 40 years, but you put her in a stand-up comedy environment, and it just completely just goes right in front of everybody.
Yeah. And I think, too, something about stand-up comedy, and this is no dog on anybody, but there are a lot of jokes that I'm like, that wasn't funny. How did you get a laugh off of that? And by that, I mean wiener jokes. I love a good wiener joke as much as the next person, but they all became so bland at some point where I was like, I've heard this joke 100 different ways. Like, new content, please.
You can only talk about wieners so often before it finally...
I get it. Like, I'm a fart joke fanatic, but like, come on.
You have to, we got to at least diversify our farts. We can't just simply come up with the same three or four things.
Do you like how I took this interview from like, oh, we're talking about duality down to the level of fart jokes? I want to apologize to your audience.
You don't need to apologize. Trust me, anybody who's listened to this show knows this is far from the most highbrow. I'm the most far from highbrow individual. I only sound like this. I am not. I'm the guy who couldn't read a weather report and see 69 degrees without finding a way to work the word nice into it. Yes,
nice.
I'm giving up some of the goat here on this. I'm breaking a little kayfabe by acknowledging, yes, even during a live broadcast, it was a few months ago, it was before the Olympics, and it just so happened to be that we had a countdown on the screen. And that particular morning, there were 69 days until the Olympics. So I had to figure out, all right, so what are we doing? And I see the story, I see what we're going to talk about. And with 69 days until the start of the Olympics, today's a really nice time to note that we're going, and of course, it's the rare day that I have a different producer and I can hear the laugh in my ear as soon as I say it. It's like he knew what the deal was. So you don't need to worry about being highbrow around here. I'm
sorry. Those are the only toot jokes I'll make.
So I have a quick question. You've done radio, you've done TV, and I get this question a lot too. Which would you prefer more, being on radio or being on television?
That's a really tough question to ask because there's two. Yes, the avenue is the same. I'm just yapping, but they're two totally different things. Because radio, you can just roll up and you're like, hey, I'm wearing my hair in a bun. I'm wearing sweatpants. You can't do that in TV. There is a like, you have to get ready. And I kind of enjoy getting ready. I know some people are like, I don't like putting on my makeup, but I look at makeup as art class and my face is the canvas and I like to paint. So I don't know. That's a good question. I love them both differently for different reasons. I don't know if I'd put them in the same level though. I don't know. That's a good question. I wish I knew which I loved more. It'd make life a lot easier.
It would make life easier on all of us. I was always I spent more time in radio than TV, obviously. So for me, I was slightly skewed. The being able to pull up in a hoodie and sweatpants, yeah, that I love every second of that. Give me all of that. But getting into the suit is kind of like going from Clark Kent to Superman.
Yeah.
And kind of having that look of you look official. And you, even when I was when I was on the streets doing stories and then behind the desk anchoring, and it's like I'm two different guys. And you're able to kind of clean up and you look more official, but at the same time, I'm still the goofball sitting here in a pair of gray sweatpants and a
Spider-Man t-shirt. Yeah, there is like a confidence that comes with TV to some, like you have to have it or you will get ripped to pieces.
And it happens all the time. As we mentioned with people who love to send those lovely emails to us, what would be something, or what is something that you tell young women who come into this business, especially now, because more than ever, it's with women coming in and having to deal with this social media environment and just being front-facing, a lot of them for the first time. If a young woman comes up and says, Julie, what is something that I can kind of look forward to here? How do you do this? What would you say to them?
Keep your last name. Do not change it for a man. When I was an intern at KSDK News Channel 5 in St. Louis, a reporter there by the name of Ashley Yarkin, I believe was her name, looked me dead in the eye and said, do not go into this business unless it's something you absolutely love. You have to love it. Because it will consume you. It will consume you. That's what I would say. As far as the criticism, first off, let's just acknowledge it. Let's not act like it's not hurtful. Like it is hurtful. I've worked with male colleagues and they'll be like, well, that just happens to women. And my thought process is like, it doesn't have to though. And we need the men in the newsroom who are seeing these exact same things to be the one to go to bat for us. Like I'm sick of telling so-and-so from whatever town that their comments are inappropriate. I wish I had male colleagues that would say, they would jump in on those newsroom emails. Cause you know, sometimes they go to the whole newsroom and say, hey, I don't find this to be appropriate. Please refrain from doing it again. That'd be so nice if we had other people doing that battle. Cause while women are dealing with the emotional toll of that, and it hurts when someone says whatever about you. If there could be like allies in the newsroom to say, you're not going to talk to my colleague like that. You're not going to sexualize my colleague like that. You're not going to send my colleague these photos type thing. When the opportunity is given, that would be really nice. But I don't know. When it comes to women, I always tell them, and this is a long way to answer your question, ask for what you're worth. When the Sony hack happened, the Sony hack revealed that they were paying women a great deal less than they were paying men. And the president of Sony came out, and I remember this. I remember watching this interview when I was really young in journalism. And she said, at the end of the day, I run a business. If women aren't going to ask for more, if they're going to accept less, I'm going to pay them less. And that is something I tell young women all the time. Know your worth and ask for it. And don't be afraid to be stern and firm in it type thing. Because at the end of the day, it is a business.
When it comes to that, and by the way, that's a phenomenal point. That's a point that needs to be made to a lot of even the young journalists on the male side, too, because a lot of men don't really know what to ask for when they come in here. Again, if you're not going to ask for it, I'm not going to pay you. I've had to put the squeeze on a couple people, too. And also, the funny thing when you mentioned the women
people not standing up for women in offices because of just the insanity that comes with these emails. I'm one of those few guys that I've gotten into it with news directors. Like, just let me respond to this one. Just let me respond to this one. I've seen teammates, I call them teammates. I've seen them, like, women in tears or just angry because they feel if they say something, their job is in jeopardy if they say something, which is nuts. And I've gone to news directors in multiple places saying, hey, is it all right if I do this? Because since she can't, they won't jump crazy at me. So let me do. And they'll tell you, no, there are people in these rooms because I've worked in rooms with guys who are willing to do it, but we're often held back. It's like, well, no, it's not professional or how corporate media is these days.
F that, I do it. I try to kill the people with kindness. I had one lady one time who wrote me an email that was so scathing. And I said, hey, I've been there. I recognize that you need an outlet for your hurt and you're directing at a stranger because it's easy, but I'm a person too. And she wrote me back so apologetic. So like, you can kill people with kindness, and some people just want to be mean. So that is great to hear that they want to. But for me, like, I've sent out emails. I've responded back. Like, I got colleagues, and somebody sent a scathing email, I'll send something back on occasion and be like, not today, buddy.
Not happening.
But politely and professionally, I think there's a way to go about it. Eventually, at one station, I went to HR and said, hey, I feel that it is unfair and unprofessional that these highly sexualized emails about me and my female colleagues are allowed to go to all of my colleagues, to everybody I work with. And I want it stopped. And guess what? It got stopped.
That's the one thing I'm with you 100%. And we as men have to do a lot better, just in general, overall throughout society. But we need to do a hell of a lot better in terms of standing up with the women we work with, because you wouldn't want some goober sending an email and saying that to your mom or to your sister or to your daughter, which is really, again, you bring up the point of the granddad sending you something crazy, that they'll send some of the most ridiculously sexualized things to women and then say, I love and I protect my daughter. You better not disrespect my daughter.
It's always those guys are like, I protect women. Now here's a photo I'm sending to my wiener to a stranger. Like, it's like, no, you don't, you old pervert. You just like to act like you do, but you're in with the bad people. You're a bad person.
You're one of the worst people. Julie, before we go here, you've been doing this in TV and radio. What do you ultimately see yourself doing? Because I will not disrespect where you are now, but I just got this vision of you being someone who can do this nationally, whether as a working in news or expanding into comedy, doing the stupid news thing. There's so much more there for you. So what do you eventually see yourself doing?
Thank you so much. Can you tell that to the agent that ghosted me? Because I'm a little sassy about it.
I'll go find him.
Thank you. You know, ultimately, I want to live at the end of a dead end road, grow wisteria, wear floral dresses, and have people say, she's really kind, but she could be a witch. No, I'm kidding. If The Daily Show is listening, I think I could be a fabulous correspondent. I've got the news background and a wit and a funny. I love what John Oliver does. I love how he is able to take these really serious topics and dive deep into them and still offer this like comedic twist. I would love to exist in a space like that.
You on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think the first time I saw you, I thought you were somebody like a Daily Show correspondent because
No, they won't call me, and they're not calling me because I don't know what their number is. Dear John Stewart, have I got a deal for you?
He's only on there once a week, so it's like you can work out a fine once or twice a month. Get Julie on the Daily Show.
I want the John Stewart deal where I make millions of dollars, work one day a week, and then also the big events.
And on the big nights, that's it. It's like you're working you're working the big nights. You're the main eventer. You don't have to be there every single week. Whenever you show up, that's when the money is made, basically. You are, and I couldn't be more thrilled to actually be able to do this with you. Julie, how can people who know how to act actually get in contact with you or see what you're doing?
You know what? You don't know how to act. As long as you can... Sometimes people will be like, you're not funny. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, you're right. You should comment 12 more times and send us to seven people. That way they also know how funny I'm not. Sometimes I'll do that because I'm trying to drive engagement. But you can find me online at AND Julie Baker on all my platforms.
and all one word, and Julie Baker, no underscores, no anything else. Julie Baker, this has been an honor to do this.
No, my pleasure. This has been so wonderful.
We have to do this again. And you don't have a podcast. I'm kind of surprised you don't.
You know, you were like the third person in the last week that's been like, you got a podcast? And I'm like, I don't know what I would talk about.
Well, we could work on that. That could be something we could certainly work on. I think you would be fabulous at this. You do both TV and radio. Where can they, because I know I laid this out at the beginning, but once again, where can they see you on both TV and radio? Because everything's online now.
Yeah. So my radio show is called The Julie Baker Show. It's on 92.9 The Beat. You can follow The Beat on all social media platforms. KOSP is the call letters. And then I'm at Fox 21 KXRM in Colorado Springs.
How do you manage to do those two shows? I forgot to ask that in the bulk of all this because we talk about so many things. How are you doing both a TV show and a radio? And you're up in the morning doing news. So it's not like this is you're working dayside or anything.
No, I cry a lot. And then I also have a deep fear of failure. No, I'm like, I have to succeed.
It's amazing. What time is your radio show?
The radio show is 3 to 6 Central Time. And then you can listen online at 929thebeat.com. Just click on air and then The Julie Baker Show, because I do put up full broadcast there every day.
It's like how Tom Joyner used to do a show in the morning in Chicago and one in the afternoon in Dallas. It's like this is what she's doing out here. Two shows in two different markets, and she's incredible at both of them. Julie Baker, thank you so much for doing this. And hopefully we'll get to do more stuff like this in the future, because I think she's wonderful. And please behave yourself as best you can out there. And I'm not talking to Julie. I'm talking to you dope sending her pictures of your
quit
spots.
Sending me pictures of your yummy.
And there you have it. Another one in the books. I want to thank Julie Baker for checking in with us and doing that just amazing conversation with me. Of course, once again, as she mentioned, you can find her on social media. Please come correct. It's at and Julie Baker, all one word, and Julie Baker, all across the social medias. And by the way, you can also find me on TikTok. And we're going to work on getting this show up on TikTok as well. So be on the lookout for that coming up real soon. Don't forget, of course, you can also check out all your favorite JSC moments, JSC clips on the YouTube page. Just search for J. Scott Confidential or JSC Radio. My name is J. Scott Smith, telling you to take care of yourself. God bless. Always dare to be different. Always have your pets spayed or neutered. And we are out of here. We'll be back at you real soon with episode 123, and it'll be easy as 1, 2, 3 around here. Until next time, goodbye, everybody.
I love and I protect my daughter. You better not disrespect my daughter.
It's always those guys are like, I protect women. Now here's a photo I'm sending of my wiener to a stranger.
You're listening to the People's Podcast.
So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
This is JSC Radio.
This is a presentation of JSC Media.
I heard on the news about that 5-year-old who found his uncle's gun. The kid didn't know it was loaded.
I heard on the news about that 14-year-old girl who was bullied online. For like a year, she couldn't take it anymore, so she got her dad's gun from his nightstand.
I heard on the news about that guy who broke into someone's house, stole a gun from the hall closet.
He accidentally shot his cousin in the head.
She killed herself.
And later, killed the owner of the store he was trying to rob.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.